It's kind of strange to me that I've begun the new year really not knowing what to talk about. I didn't particularly like last week's talk, and so I didn't even put it online. Really, part of the process of spiritual growth is that you really go to layers of yourself that are no longer easy to express verbally. And in the past, that hasn't stopped me from trying, but I'm finding it harder and harder to articulate. What are actually very subtle states and very subtle experiences. I read a line of Nisargadatta last night that I've read before that is, I think, important. And in a way depicts the subtlety of the realm in which we're functioning. He basically says that people make a huge mistake in thinking that everything they feel is inside them. Is really outside them. And everything they think that is outside them is inside them. And that is so contrary to our experience. We truly believe that the world is outside us, that everyone we're looking at is outside of us. It seems a fact. You're looking at the world. There are people, and buildings, and earth, and sky, and a universe outside you. And inside you, there are emotions, feelings, thoughts. And clearly they're inside. You feel them inside yourself. But the exact opposite is true. Feelings, thoughts, mind activity itself is really not within you. It is external to you. And the world that you take to be so solid and so external is really within you. As Nisargadatta says in one of his lines that has always intrigued me, you are not in the world is in you. And where everybody messes up in terms of understanding what I'm talking about and what Nisargadatta is talking about, is that every time I use the word you, you think of yourself as a body and a mind. You think of yourself as this physical being. Of course, you've got a pattern of doing that since the moment you were born. You've thought of yourself as this. Nisargadatta, when he says you are not in your body is in you, is hinting at a very important awareness, a transcendent awareness. It is the awareness of awakening or enlightenment. there is the experience in which one becomes aware that one is all there is. And that within that extraordinary wholeness, there is a perceiving entity that bears your name. But that perceiving entity is within you. You are not that person separate from this vastness. You are this person as a point of awareness within that vastness. Your whole body and mind are one with and deeply connected to the infinite. And as I say this, and your mind tries to picture it, it really mispictures it. Because you can't imagine this, you can only know it. To know who you truly are is to see your mind and body as a tiny, tiny, infinitesimal manifestation of yourself. Within the vastness of you, the world forms. The world with all it contains is you. But when the mind tries to go there, it gets lost, it gets confused, it can't seem to break out of the confine of the biological and the physical. One of the ways to begin to do that is to take that which you think is inside you, your emotions and your thoughts and your feelings, and step back from them. And you begin to experience this extraordinary thing that is, you are flying over the emotional landscape of your life. You are flying over the thoughts in your life. You are above all of that, and they are not within you, they are external to you. When you step back from your own body-mind idea, everything that is within it becomes outside it. And you start to see it objectively. So you start to see your thought patterns, and you start to realize that you're not your thought patterns, you are an observer of your thought patterns. You are not your emotional life, you are an observer of your emotional life. You get to enter into it and live it, and touch it and feel it, as part of your arrangement, if you will, with existence. You have been allowed to touch life through this form that you have been given to temporarily know existence. But you are the observing principle of all of it. And if you start to pull back from your thoughts and pull back from your emotional content, you start to feel a freedom from all of that, a separation, a loss of individual identity. And that universe of feeling and thought no longer entraps you in a sense of identity. So that you begin to taste this freedom from you. This obsession with you are all that there is, and all of your issues and all of your problems, then all of your fears and all of your desires are important. You start to feel a tiny little bit of release from that. And one of the wonderful things about sitting in meditation is that you give yourself an hour or however long to do that. If nothing else, the value of meditation is this short little window into the release from yourself. It's a breath of fresh air. It is a kind of cleansing. It is a kind of opening and a freedom. And it doesn't last for long for most people, but it's there. You actually look at your thoughts. You actually see your emotions. And instead of being pulled down by them or being totally wrapped up in them, they're just there. And that kind of detachment is a beginning of an awareness that you are not in your body. Your body is in you. I described this in class in LA the other day, and I think it's an important understanding. This stepping back from your emotional life and your thought life is a true release of the engagement of all of that. And a lot of people in their spiritual practice think that's what they're aiming for. Step back and let it go. My experience of recent time is a little different than that. And that is, you step back from yourself, experience this conscious awareness of yourself, and then re-enter yourself. Re-enter your emotional life. Re-enter your bodily life. Re-enter your thoughts. And what happens is you come back to it with a kind of amazing presence. The presence isn't being outside, it's being one with. There you are, awake, in you, to you. And what happens is you're now in your thoughts and simultaneously not your thoughts. You are in your emotions and not your emotions. And equally important, you are in the world and not in the world. And everybody around you, everyone becomes yourself. Everyone you're looking at becomes part of what you are. And you start to realize that you are not a body, you are all bodies. You are not a physical presence, you are all physicality and manifestation itself. This is hard for the mind to grasp. But when you start to really release yourself from your limited idea of mind and body, you become aware that you are the entire expression of every mind and every body, of the idea of a planetary body, the idea of a solar system, the idea of a galactic awareness. You are that entire thing. And yet, whatever that thing is, it's in you. You are even beyond the universe. You are beyond God in the universe. You are beyond all things. You are everything that ever was and everything that is simultaneously. Thinking of yourself as a person is not wrong. We are this living thing. We are this body. We are these emotional experiences we have, where the complexity of that, the depth of that, the suffering, the ecstasy, we are all of that. But it's only the framework that allows us to touch what we truly are, which is the whole of this. We are everybody's suffering. We are everybody's ecstasy. We are everybody's life together. We are the whole thing. And putting this in words is so insufficient, because all it can do is make you think of it as a concept, and in truth, there is no concept that makes it right. The concept of the universe is the universe. This is it. It's like making a map of the world that's completely realized. The completely realized map of the world is the world. There's no more detailed map of the world than the world. That's what it is. It's its whole expression. what we're trying to do in our spiritual lives, what each of us is reaching for inside, is this growing awareness, this evolutionary awareness. There are people who have this experience in a flash. But I do believe that the more common experience is a slow unfolding, a gradual unfolding. Things fall away. Basically, we live our lives in a maturing way that makes things fall away. Friends fall away. Things that were important to us when we were 10 fall away. Things that are important to us when we're 30 or 50 fall away. Things are not important anymore. Life becomes, in a sense, simpler. We still have our addictions, we still have our fears, we still have the things we're holding on to, and the thing that is most problematic is this unbelievable fear that we are going to die. Probably just before that is the fear that you're going to run out of money before you die. These are the issues that people deal with. And all I can tell you is that what will happen ultimately is you will probably not run out of money before you die, although you may not believe that, but you will die. You will experience the end of this body. Everything has been telling you that from early on. Even when your parents told you at 5 that everybody dies and you can't imagine what that means. It's impossible to imagine you dying. Even to this day, it's pretty impossible to imagine you dying, because something in us is so vast and eternal that it doesn't really believe it. And it doesn't believe it for a very particular reason, because it doesn't happen. Because you don't die. And that's hard to believe, because our physical form is going to die. Our mental history, our emotional life is going to die. Yes, it's all going to go. At some point, it could happen like that. It could happen slowly. It could happen easily. It could happen painfully. It kind of doesn't matter, except that we think it matters. But if you are aware of the vastness and the eternal nature of this process, of the mere fact that you've done this a billion times before, there is something in you that knows that the loss of you is not the loss of anything. Because this tiny little speck of you is like a leaf falling off a tree. You don't walk around mourning every leaf that falls off a tree. Happens all the time. They grow back, they fall off. They grow back, they fall off. We're the same way. Because we are so caught up in ourselves, because we're so obsessed by ourselves, so fascinated by ourselves, so identified with ourselves as these biological, physical, mental forms, we can't believe the universe can exist without us. And in some way, it can't. But it can exist without our body, mind, and physical self, because our real self is the vastness in which this body has arisen. And the whole goal of our practice is to know that, is to wake up to that fact. And it's so funny how hard it is to do. It's the obvious fact. It's the most obvious fact there is. And the people I'm aware of who have done it kind of laugh at how obvious it is. And they say, you're going to be shocked at how obvious all of this is. It's like, of course. How could it have been otherwise? It's a knowledge that we all carry within us. We all do. Even in our greatest suffering, and I know you've all been there, in your greatest suffering, there's something that's not suffering at all. It's like, this is amazing. You're commenting on your own suffering. You're watching it. You're going, oh my God, I've never been this depressed in my whole life. Boy, I've never felt pain like this ever. What's saying that? What's observing that? It's the part of you that's always been there. It's watching this life in amazement. It's not always liking it. It often judges it harshly, but it's watching it. The miracle is that we're living this life at all. The miracle is that we're touching this universe. We call it real and we call it unreal. It's in a way of both. But every moment has a kind of reality, or you would be elsewhere. This is your reality. This is the reality of you. What's so amazing to me is when I step back from my life and feel the bliss of that, and then enter back into my life and feel the bliss of that, I have re-entered my life in a state of complete awe. I cannot believe how amazing it is. I cannot believe that this construct of existence has manifested, and that somehow I am a necessary part of that in the Bruce Rubin aspect, and I am somehow the very creator of it in myself. And that myself, the Bruce Rubin self, is exactly the same as each of yourselves. Exactly the same. When you release yourself from yourself, you will sit there in the same state of awe. And when we look at each other from that place, we will stare at each other in total amazement. There will be no more need to protect ourselves or define ourselves as separate from everybody else. Instead, what you experience is the amazement at the oneness with everybody else. That's what's extraordinary. That you are and never have been separate from another being. It's terrifying to most of us. When I sit consciously with other people, and I'm aware at how different we are, how strangely reconfigured we each are from each other, how unlike each other we are in so many ways, that each person brings such depth and richness to the table. And you sit there and you stare at it. You almost can't speak. It's so remarkable who we are as beings, that we are beings. And to walk around with these little tapes in our head saying, I'm a failure, I didn't pull it off, I didn't do it, it didn't work, I've had a terrible life, life's not working, things aren't going well. That little tiny tape that people live with is so, in a sense, obscene. Because it so misses the point of who you are. And yet, you walk around and you look at people and you see the tape that they're playing in their head. And you go, no, no, it's not who you are. This is your little tape that's going around and will go around until you die. And when you die, you're going to watch it unravel with a lot of discomfort. Because you're so in belief that that's who you are. That as it gets taken apart, and it does, and as it returns back to its oneness, for most people that is a horrible experience because they're holding this thing that's disintegrating. Let it go. Let it go now. This is the moment. Truly, this is the moment. It's always the moment. This moment to just go. Don't expect anything from it. That's the hard part. Don't expect anything from surrender. Don't expect an awakening that says, oh, just expect this. This is that. This is the very thing you awaken to, the amazement of this. It's the expectation of some kind of otherness, of some change or alteration, that we will be a different entity. That's the problem. It doesn't make you different, it makes you what you are. It's not about freeing you from being you, it's about freeing you to be you, to completely be you. That's what we're all coming to. And some of us will have it in a flash, and some of us it will be, as I've described it many times before, like a tooth that's coming out of a six-year-old's mouth. You know, it's like it gets looser and looser and looser and looser until it's just on one thread. And when it's like that, you start to gnaw at it. Like you're with it all the time, all day long, all night long. You're feeling your little loose tooth. Spiritually, as you're coming to awakening, it's the same thing. You gnaw on it all the time. It's in your mind. You're always thinking about being present, being here, because it's so delicious. And you get tastes of it, and those tastes are the same thing as what it feels like when the tooth is loose. Oh, you can't wait for it to come out. And some of you get premature and you pull it out. And some of you just kind of wait until you lying there in bed one night and suddenly you go, it fell out. It just fell out. It's like, ah. That's what it feels like. So this is the journey into something that you already are, a teaching that is trying to teach you how to be what you already are, words that are trying to express something that cannot be expressed. And yet everything that's going on here is a hint. It's another moment of trying to give you something to nudge you out of your normal consciousness, to nudge you into another perspective that will make you go, and even if it lasts for a second, it's like, you know it's there. Just even that, you know it's there. And then suddenly it'll be, and you really know it's there. And you're really present with yourself. It becomes more and more and more and more, more constant. I mean, it may go away for a day or a week or a month or a year, but it never goes away. It ultimately is yours. It can't go anywhere. It's impossible to have it go anywhere. All we can do is maintain our gnawing on that tooth, keep at it, work at it, and let this thing find its way of expressing itself to you. But do know, it's easier to gnaw on that tooth and have it fall out than to have somebody take a pliers and pull it out. And, you know, the universe works in many ways. And if you're not working on that tooth, it's going to yank it out. Because ultimately, one gets yanked out. So, keep this at the forefront of your consciousness. Keep this work in place. The fact that you arrive here on a weekly basis means that there's something in you gnawing, reaching, wanting, waiting, making an effort. None of that will have any effect on some level, and yet it won't happen without it. So keep this in play. Keep yourself working. Feel hungry. Sit whenever you can. You don't even have to meditate. Just sit. Just sit still. Feel yourself in the moment. Sit still wherever you are. You can be in the middle of a movie and suddenly go, oh. In fact, it's a great place to do that. Whenever you find yourself sitting, listening to music, or even reading the newspaper, stop for a moment getting caught in the story and just realize that you're sitting there reading the newspaper. And this thing happens. It goes, it only lasts a moment because then the story of the news comes back at you. But that moment, as valuable as can be, keep this work alive in yourself. Keep at it, because it's the only real work of being human. It's the only real thing we're here to do. Period. To be aware of what we're doing while we're doing it. We have to do what we do. That's our life. We have to do our work in the world. That's our life. We are here to construct the universe, literally to construct the universe. We are here to construct reality. That's our job. Every moment we are constructing reality. We are being driven to construct reality. We have passion, hunger, desire, and sometimes we're being pushed to construct reality. But that's what we're doing. Reality and us are one thing. We are making the universe every moment that we breathe. Keep working at it consciously and see where it takes you. George.
Will you please put this talk online?
This one? Sure. Yeah. Anybody else?
I'm just trying to frame the diversification and unique expression of the one puts up a lot of crystallization and a lot of roughage. That just kind of made me like, first of all, just before the thing, well, why does diversification not necessarily, why does it congeal into division, you know, which then has to just be reconsumed anyway? It's just another chunk, bigger chunk of the roughage.
It seems.
Think of Rudy's whole thing.
Right.
Roughage.
Right.
You know, that was sort of an essence of the spiritual cannibalism concept, right, to,
break it down.
Yeah.
Have something to chew on, to work with. I mean, what would life be if we didn't have anything to work with?
Right.
You know?
So that has to constantly generate itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's how things are created.
How the universe creates itself.
Exactly. And it seems to have an enormous need to be created.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, when you touch yourself at all, when you feel the self within or without, its urge to be is its essence. Its manifestation is its essence.
And it's implemented by the crystallization form, the pain.
Absolutely.
The rigidity.
Absolutely. It's essential to all of it.
The locked channels, all that.
And when you see that, when you see it in awe. You watch this thing that you think is so awful and so difficult. Why do people suffer? Why do these things happen? It's essential to the process. And it's, if you enter into the pain of your moment, you get that. It's hard to watch people who don't get it, because they're really suffering. They're really suffering. Life is really, really painful, a lot. It's also really wonderful, a lot. But it is exactly what it needs to be, and the moment you get that, there's no conflict with it, there's no opposition to it, there is just service, and service of a kind of joy that is hard to describe.
Do you think in growing spiritually with embracing all that the nature of the roughage, changes us?
It can. Some
people. Teachers say that, well, wait and see what happens, what the universe is going to start throwing you as you open up.
Well,
so
yes.
It gets tougher, and there's more resistance that's unfolded.
The deeper you go in yourself, think of going into the earth. I always describe, it's sand, clay, quartz, really hard.
Right.
If you're going down into that stuff, you got to have different tools. It's harder, it's more resistant, it's denser. So you have to work differently, but you have the capacity to do it. And also, as you dig deep into the layers of yourself and mine your own existence, yes, there's a lot of stuff down there, and it's really, to the mind anyway, unbelievably demanding and frightening almost. It's so big, and there's so much work.
You still carry a greater resolution.
Sure, sure. Well, because once you're in tune with whatever you want to call it, the divine plan. I don't know. I mean, that's a lot. It's a sense of there's an extraordinary embrace of this whole being. There's not. It wants to be so much. It's so thrilled by its own existence. It's so in wonder of everything it can do and touch and experience. And we are really, as that in the article you sent me the other day, we're up against the membrane of that. We are the membrane of that. We are the absolute creators of existence. Each and every one of us, and even the little ants out there doing their little thing, they're all part of this unbelievable thing. But the extraordinary thing is that not only are we not just really part of it, we are that thing. We are that. And not to know that may not matter, except that it's possible to know that. And I don't know that it's an obligation to know it, but it's inevitable that we will. And it may be even, and this is something I alluded to last week, and I'm very intrigued by right now, the evolutionary imperative of our knowing it. That it seems to be something, there seems to be something going on. And I never bought into this before, and I'm not even sure I buy into it at this moment. But there seems to be a reason for a kind of collective awakening that may be taking place in terms of the evolutionary imperative of the human species. It's pretty incredible if that's what's going on. But even if it's not what's going on, it's still incredible. Something's going on, and life is really different today than it was when we were children. And it is getting more different by the hour. It is changing in ways that we have never known, and it is collectively part of all of our experience and all of our effort. And where is it going? I don't even know if it knows where it's going. I assume it does on some ultimate level, but it is transforming in really remarkable ways, and we are in that. We are in that. It is absolutely wonderful, and there are new things coming about. One of the guys you mentioned that I should read yesterday, I did, and he has this great article on something I saw in the New York Times a few weeks ago about this new energy. Understanding that there is a way of moving electricity without wires, so that you can actually take an object, let's say a cell phone, and put it within a certain proximity to an energy source, an electrical source, and it will get charged.
Magnetic induction.
Yeah. It's an extraordinary thing, and it's like the world needs new energy now, a new energy source. This is an ancient energy source, but it's not one that we've ever been able to tap into. Something is awakening in human consciousness, in our scientific awareness, that is giving us an energy source that hasn't been there before. As the oil dries up, suddenly something else comes in. Is that going to change the nature of the world? Unbelievably. Cheap energy, available energy. All I can say is that the universe is this smart, extraordinary, wise knowing that is making itself work in any way that it can to keep itself going in every possible way that it can. And we are that thing. We are that. It's a wondrous thing that we're part of.
I think the opportunity is that this planet, not all of human history, but we've gone through a big bubble of time and space where essentially we've been fighting over resources, and that bubble is about to burst, and it can burst in an extremely destructive way,
or like everything else, partly destructive and partly constructive,
right.
The way the world seems to work,
right.
You know, it participates in duality,
but the imperative is there because the nature of those, well, the resource that we're fighting over is energy, but you know, it's manifestations of energy, oil, nuclear, da da da. They're all about to be broken down.
Well, all of that breaking down is a external manifestation of an internal breaking down, in a sense, of all of our finding a new energy source, and an available energy source that is ancient. And in a certain sense, it's the source of energy itself, which is the self. And we are all potentially available to that.
Why
do I feel it's ancient? Because it's been there from the beginning.
It's timeless.
It's timeless. Yeah. Ancient is maybe the wrong word because it puts it in time, but it is transcendent of time, and it's always present. More and more people are awakening to that. But again, rather than making this a dramatic thing of the world awakening, we individually are in a position at this moment in time, based on just sitting here today, to touch this, if you will, this vibration in ourself that is working toward rising up and waking up. That's all it is, each of us. So you don't need to make it a dramatic evolutionary experience. We need to make it our own personal experience. That's the goal of all of this, and we're all in it together. We sit here together. I'm the one who's the voice of it right at the moment, but you're just as much a voice of it. Each of you are just as much a voice of it. You can speak this yourself. You don't have to sit and pontificate it, but you do have to live it. And when you start to live it, you will share it with others. Other people will pick up on it. Other people will touch it, and they'll start to get a hunger for it in the exact same way that you have it. Don't be afraid to speak this to the world. Don't be afraid to share this with people. Don't be afraid that people will reject you for it because they want this as badly as you do. Everyone out there wants this, and everyone out there is hungry for this. You may threaten them by talking about it because they are not always in touch with what they're looking for, but there are ways that are very gentle and very simple to be open and honest about you that will allow other people to be open and honest about themselves, and this doorway to the infinite will be open between you and another, and people will start to resonate with this larger vibration of awakening. It's people's fear of doing that keeps the world locked up. It's people's fear to look into each other's eyes. It's people's fear to really hug, to really feel each other, to really care about each other. That fear, that self-protective thing, is what locks the world up and keeps everybody away from the one thing we really want, which is to really care about each other, to really, in a sense, know each other, acknowledge each other, and see each other as what we truly are, which is one being. That's what we want. Everybody wants that. And hopefully we can find a way to get there without threatening everybody in the process. So we have our work cut out for us. The real work is internal. The other work is how you relate to others. And learning to relate to the other as an expression of yourself. Not of your personality, not of your body, not of your mind, but of your true self. And when you see that in another person, you will only love them, especially if you love yourself. You can do nothing but love the other. No matter how other, truly other they are, you will love them. Any more questions, or are we done? Okay. I'm heading off to L.A. this week. And I'll try to be back, I think, in March. And there will be a couple of classes next month. Blanche will send out a note about that. And hopefully I'll see you guys in March. Thank you.